All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. So tonight, we are going to talk about something's crucial. It's not super fun, but I'm telling you, you're going to want to listen to this because after doing this for years and years and years, the last thing you want is a propulsion issue.
Yeah, well, any
seriously.
Sort of, yeah,
you got to have an oar, so we're not going to talk any oar.
Right.
Right.
But we're going to talk trolling motor, big motor, and if you have a kicker motor. Just real general maintenance. We're not going to get into like gap size and plugs. That's a mechanic stuff.
Well, and that's,
but what do we need to do to make sure you're okay?
And not many, if you have a newer motor, I think we all have messed around with our older motors. Like I think Mitch, I think yours is probably,
oldest.
We could mess around with that one. I mean, I did, right? Like changing my own plugs when I had one that was similar year, but now you can't even, I mean, mine have to be turned the right direction and they have to align the way it was before in the cylinder, my plugs. So I don't even take the cowling off. It scares me. Really? I mean, on the big motor, the little motor is a little bit different, but the big motor, these are like precise machines.
So right. Big motor, what are you going to do? So what are you going to do to make sure that you have the best success to make sure you're not going to have an issue?
So every spring, and I don't, I know what people will say, and yes, you can do this but I would do it both, to be honest with you, especially if you're going to store your boat outside. If you're going to store it inside, and you do this in the fall, then you're probably fine. But lower end oil for sure. I mean, that is a springtime thing. I will put if it's storing outside in the fall, I will change it to get rid of any sort of water that has gotten in there from before, and I'll put some cheap whatever, just filler, the right stuff, but cheap, right? Whatever I can find, Quicksilver. I mean, whatever is the right one to put in there. Just to hold the space while it's being stored. And then before I go out in the spring, I will empty it again, flush that out, and put in the good stuff, the stuff you're supposed to. So if it's a Rood, the Evan Rood made stuff or whatever. And that is the first thing I do. And a lot of this stuff that we're going to talk about, it's one sunny afternoon, right? Like I'll get up, it's going to be a nice day. It's March or April.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a couple hours of really good maintenance and we're off and running. So lower end oil for sure. What are you guys going to do after lower end oil?
The lower end oil, the only thing I want to make sure, because if you ever see someone drop their engine and they've done it themselves, sometimes you'll see a little bit of oil coming down the lower end unit or dripping on the ground. It's usually what guys forget to do is check that lower end, the screw, the plug for draining that is the little grommet.
The rubber O-ring.
Dude, I'm serious.
Oh,
that
huge.
Is 95% of the problem.
Absolutely.
Is that O-ring.
Yeah. You should change those out every time.
Every year.
Yep.
Every spring, that's when you change it up because that, it's weird. Well, I don't even know. What are they, a dollar? If that, 10 cents?
Yep.
I mean, they're nothing, but that's usually your problem. So that's the first thing I'm going to do is when I do my lower end unit, I'm going to check that and replace it. Mm-hmm. Because it's just the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, and it's cheap.
And it's cheap because that's a lot of times creates an issue. And the last thing you want to do is have a small gap in there. And it's fine. I mean, your oil is going to be in there fine. But the last thing you want to do is start getting water up in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it gets all milky and looks crap. Yeah. It's not good for it.
Right.
Or they wouldn't have the O-ring.
Right. It breaks down the viscosity and everything. Yeah. And so
they would be water lubricated if it was good for it.
Well, and remember, if you guys haven't done this before, it's a pretty simple process, right?
So easy.
You have your vent screws that are up top, and they're usually right above or in somewhere in by the cavitation plate. So they're in that range. And then you have
higher on the lower unit.
Yep, higher on the lower unit, and it's usually two screws, right? And then you have your lower screw. You take out your lower screw.
Do we have a YouTube on this?
I don't think so.
Maybe we do that.
Yeah, that might be a good one. But you do your lower screw first, right? So you take out your lower screw, you put an oil pan underneath it, and then you take out the vent screws, And, you know, you can do them both. I do both because I replace both
grommets. Minute later, it's all out.
And it's just...
And, I mean, the oil really doesn't come out of the drain hole until you take the...
It will slow.
Yeah. But it's like anything. Yeah. When you open up a can of corn, unless you do the crack at the back end, not going to come out real good.
A can of corn?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Man, I want that corn out.
You got to get it out of that hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of that cornhole.
Oh, jeez.
I thought, well, it's a can of corn.
Yeah, whatever. That's funny. So that's what I'm going to do. Mitch, what are you going to do?
I'm a fuel guy. So, you know, I put Seafoam.
Oh, you do? You're a Seafoam guy.
I'm a Seafoam guy. Yeah, I know you're a Stable guy.
I'm Seafoam too.
Yeah, I've always been the same stuff though. Yeah, yeah. And I'll try to run it down as low as I can in the fall. Uh-huh. But you know, so then my first thing is I'm going to go fill it up and
see. That's interesting. Well, because I know a lot of guys who do the opposite because they don't want condensation in their tanks.
But I see that point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just not have as much old fuel in there.
Right. So you get that newer fuel. Well, and I think if you're worried about the condensation, you put in the new gas, right, which helps dilute everything, right?
Yeah.
All pollution leaves with dilution, right? So, I mean, that's the...
But that's why I think it's good to run it down, because then when you fill up,
you fill up, and if there was any condensation diluted, in the tank, and now you put in the gas treatment, and that helps get rid of it. Mm-hmm. You know, since I store mine in the garage, I don't pay much attention to it.
You don't worry about
it. But I run Marine Stable every fill-up. So do we. You know, so that I think that also helps to make sure you don't get the condensation, you don't get the issues.
Well, and you're really doing that. You started doing that because it helps with our gas, right?
Right.
So it doesn't eat up all the lines.
Right. Well, that's the problem we had, dude.
Yes.
Is you should always run premium. Yep. It costs a little bit more, but it's totally worth it. You start running that 85 grade crap, it will screw up your rings.
It will.
It'll screw up your priming bulbs.
Absolutely.
For your small engines.
Yep.
Been there, done that, dude, and it's not worth the extra $8 you save for a fuel fill up.
Right.
Fuel fill up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right.
Well, and these new motors, man, they are so expensive. And they, I mean, you know, 25, 40, 50 grand motors. You have to run the good stuff. You can do to take care of it. It's like buying a Porsche and putting in crappy gas and not maintaining it. You're not going to do that. These motors are like that, right? Mm-hmm. So you stick in the fuel treatment, you take care of it, you do the maintenance, because a lot of these boats won't go back to the mechanic, the dealership, for a tune-up for 3 years.
3 years is usually the average.
You know, and so
some guys are probably going to be longer because they're not putting a ton of hours on it, even though they're supposed to, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're only going out on the water a couple times a year, well, what the heck, you know? Mm-hmm. But with us getting out 40, 50 times a season, we probably should do it every 2 years.
Right.
But with us doing this general maintenance and that kind of stuff like that, it gets you by with the three, and then you go over there.
Yeah.
So do you guys take off the prop?
I do every time.
I don't. I haven't.
Yeah.
I do. That scares me half to death. I think we have enough, especially when we fish these metro lakes as much as we do. Wow. I think there is a ton of garbage down there. And I think line, lead core, all kinds of stuff, it can get in there whether you know it or not. And
I take it off too, but not on my kicker.
No, that's the difference.
I don't do my kicker.
Well, the kicker's so easy, because the kicker is, you know, I mean, it's just one small regular nut, you know, and off it comes.
I haven't taken the kicker off. Mm-hmm. And the big one, yes.
I'm thinking I need to take mine off. I could get maybe 2-3 miles an hour better.
I'm worried about that.
When I took ours off, we had a lead corner.
Yeah,
lead corner. So I took it off, and that was like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But almost every year, I found some sort of, now we haven't talked trolling motors, but I found mono in there or some sort of line in there. Because it happens when you're out fishing, you're not paying attention, dead stick, all of a sudden, you take off, you're like, oh, it's still working. I'll get that later. Space it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. And that's not totally good. But we'll get to trolling motors in a minute. So what's the difference? What do you do different from your big to your little?
Well, big and little, as far as my big and little, both Evinrudes take different types of oils. So, or lube, whatever you want to call it. People get kind of crazy about that, but mine take different types, right? Mm-hmm. So, actually mine take the same. My Mercury's took different types.
Yes.
So I am lucky enough to use the 100 in the big one is the same, they say, at least the 50 in the little one. Well, use the 100 in both, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So I put the same in each one. So I go do it. And you know, you buy the pump, right? The little plastic pump, the insert. It's got the cut straw at an angle, so you can just poke it right through the you know, little foil over the top, and then just screw it on and just start pumping that bad boy in. Screw it right into the bottom one. But I, as far as different, mine's not a four stroke. If it was a four stroke, I'd do the filter and empty the oil in the four stroke. That's pretty easy to do, like a car. My Mercs were like that. My kicker Merc was like that. This Evinrude is the 15HO two stroke, and so I don't do any of that. So I just make sure my oil is filled, which it, for a two-stroke, it barely burns anything. I make sure the oil is filled, and that's it. Now, on the Evinrudes, if you have an Evinrude, that 15, great motors, the most dependable kicker motor I've ever had, but they do have very small, very fragile impellers. So I was just informed by our good buddy that who works on our boats and we fish tournaments with, that Evinrude should probably do an impeller every year, every 2 years for the little motor. I thought it was on the same cycle as the big one, so I didn't do it. And he was like, what? You know, as much as you troll, you
got it. Well, my Mark 3 is fine. He is 3 years. He's like, this thing's... This... Matter of fact, mine had been all 4 years because it was on a different... I didn't have it on the same cycle as my big. Now this year, I just got it all done, so it's on the same. But he said it's 4 years on that impeller. He said, wow. It looks great.
Yeah.
Because it's a bigger, a bigger impeller on the. Yep. Even though mine's an 8 horse, it's just the way
your design the puppy's going.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever that is. I mean, I don't know why they would do that. I have no idea. But the only thing I do a little bit different is we change out. We started doing this a few years ago, changing out the priming bulb.
Yeah,
because it. When that sucker cracks on you, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the what I mean? Little guy's not running.
And changing it out on the water, we did it once. And it's that's, tough. Well, you got one compression ring.
Yeah.
Drop that.
Yeah.
And now what are you going to do? Right. Duct tape does not work. No. We tried it. Does not work. So that gets changed, even if it looks brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that gets changed. And then I got a manual start, right? So check the pull rope. Check the rope.
The rope, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you what, I didn't do this for years. But the Zerks on your tilt, on your on your turn.
Yes, I do all those too.
Oh, yeah. And check it out because mine, the one of them, it's buried in there. But, there it is.
It's in there.
Yep.
No, I do the same thing. I do the Zerks. And I don't have many anymore, I've noticed. The Merc one, I had more. This one, I don't have as many. And it's almost like they're hard to find. You guys notice that? I'm like,
yes, that's what I mean.
They're looking all over. But I have noticed that, it does seem to, the grease does seem to stay in place fairly well. You know, you'll give it a couple pumps and it's already squeezing out the sides, you know.
Well,
you know,
I think my big freak out was like, oh shit, I haven't done that, you know, for like 5-6 years. Right. It's like, oh no, I got to do that. Yep. Take care of my babies.
Right. Well, and don't forget, don't overlook your hydraulic fluid in your tilt trim. I mean, that's a big one.
I ruined that about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it runs out. And especially for us that are in elevation.
Well, then if you keep using it, it's not good on it.
Right.
And then you have to change it.
I mean, was that the problem with your tilt going up is because the fluid was low?
Fluid was low.
Oh, yeah,
it was creating an air pocket in there. Some sort of crazy weird pressure in there because of the altitude.
Yep.
The air pocket losing that sent it up.
Perfect combo.
Yep. Burn it up.
Yep.
But I mean, it got it changed out, no problem. But yeah, it could have. It didn't need to happen.
Yeah, that's when we learn you can manually lift the motor with the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who knew? Until you have to do that.
Right.
So big and little are done.
Big and little are done.
Let's talk trolling motors.
Let's talk electrics. Electrics are tough, and don't try to do this on the water. Got a bad bunch of line in, and I thought, oh, I'll just pop this real quick. I pulled it up. I didn't want to have to go off because it was a busy day. There were boats everywhere.
If you're going to do it, you got to put your net in front of it with a rain jacket inside the net just brutal. To have something to catch it.
So I have an XI5. I forgot there is a pin in there.
Little pin.
And
baby pin.
So basically I had the nut, I had the nut in the washer.
Well, and it's not a cotter pin. It's like a key. It's
well, not really... mine's just a round post pin, it just goes through.
It's a key, not a pin.
And, which is not good.
And it just slides, right? There's nothing that holds it in there. And Yep. I was like, oh, I got the nut perfect. I just started to pull the thing off, and I heard bloop.
I was like, you're so screwed.
I was like, yeah, I turned, and I had my wife and my son out with me, and we were catching a ton of fish. And I turned to him, I said, reel them up, we're done. And she's like, what? I go, we're done. I said, I just dropped the pin in the water. I said, this thing ain't going to work. We're done. Let's go.
Done.
I was so mad. Yeah. I was like, let's go. I turned around, fired up the big motor. I said, let's go. We got off the water. I was pissed. Well, and then I found out those little pins aren't the easiest things to get. Mm-hmm. So, come to find out that, you know, Motor Guide's part of Mercury. Well, Motor Guide doesn't just have their own deal.
They don't have, there's all a pin factory.
No, they don't. They don't, you know, they don't just have where you just get parts or like, whatever.
No idiot's going to do this on the water.
Yeah, right. And so I finally found a Mercury parts place that carried those pins. And I said, send me 7 of them or 8 or whatever the package was. Send me the whole package. Did you, like, what happened? And I said, I am never, ever going to get stuck on the water again without one of these pins. So I have a plastic Ziploc bag full of these pins in the glove box of the boat because I'm like, what in the hell?
And they'll never use any of them.
No,
but you got them.
But I got them. But so if you are going to take it off and look for line, be aware that pin is going to drop. So you do it in your garage or like you said, even in your garage, put some underneath it so it doesn't hit the concrete. And kabunk, kabunk, kabunk. You know, yeah, it's like a marble and gone.
Yeah.
So, but that is, to me, that's the biggest, right? I do that.
But you got to take your prop off every year.
You do. You have to check the line.
Because how
weeds.
Many times are you up shallow fishing and you're in these weeds, you know, pulling through them and your prop is going through it and you don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But it's catching some of it, just barreling it in.
And I think that what you said, you know, we've all wrapped our line. You know, you're looking the wrong way and drifting the current or whatever and all of a sudden, oh, no.
Yep.
And then you forget about it. Yep, I have to get that. Well, and then you forget about it.
Yep.
Then you do it again.
A beer or two.
I mean, I've taken that thing off before, and it literally was like a crazy looking plastic washer.
It does.
Of
that's
mono
what it looks like.
That is
yes.
just kind of become one.
One, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's bad stuff. So
it's not good for it.
I do that.
It can't be good for it.
No.
Or they would have built it that way.
No. Nope. And I check all the connections, right?
That's what I want to get into next.
The connection to the – because, you know, people – I don't think – people, if you don't rig your own boat, you don't really realize that, you know, in that panel, if you've got a – let's say an in-dash front graph. Mm-hmm. Well, behind that panel where those switches are for the up, down, and everything else, there's connectors in there for that electric. And all the bouncing around on the trailer, all the bouncing around. I mean, you guys, one of my most eye-opening things this year
is
you guys following me and saying how much that big motor bounced around on the back of that boat.
It was unreal.
Right? Yeah. And so...
That's when you had to get a transom, a different one. Because the one you had on there...
Wasn't doing it.
It was not. I mean, it was still bouncing 6 inches. It was crazy. Yeah. Or more.
Well, it was your old one was short and it just went to the boat.
It was
the transom and this new one goes to the trailer.
Well, the better one is the one that comes on the motor. The one that you just flick down and it locks into the slot. Mm-hmm. That's actually the better one. This one was a transom saver that I had that goes over the post for the tilt. And it does have a rubber bushing on it to make it.
And it locks it down.
You know, and it just goes right down on it. And, of course, you know, I have things to lock it down so it doesn't turn right or left. So it was supposed to be kind of absorbent. But I think that was too much. I think it's better to kind of lock it in place with the one that comes on the motor. And so it doesn't move. It doesn't bounce. It's just solid. So,
Well, I guarantee that's why you had those stress fractures.
It could be. Has I had to those be. Joke codes.
Well, when we watched it, we were like, that is an issue.
Yeah.
So, but that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other story. Jeez.
The connectors from, let's just talk trolling motors. I know you can get into your electronics for your ignition, your Lowrance, all that stuff.
Right.
But for your trolling motor, the battery connections or where it plugs your plug, unless it's hardware, your plug into your boat, take those out, clean them. And then also where the battery meets it too.
Yes.
Clean off the battery. Because, I mean, it's all simple stuff, right?
Yep. Right.
Like, literally on land, when it's a nice day out, that is a 15-minute thing.
Yeah.
To clean those off with a small little brush and then get it off your carpet. Doing it on the water, there's going to be some wetness. You're going to get on your carpet. You can't get it up. Now you're going to have a copper crap on your carpet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just,
absolutely.
Dude, it's
absolutely.
15 minutes. But it makes all the difference for charging and for responsiveness, changing your batteries in your every year.
It changes the batteries in the remote.
In the remote.
Yep.
And then you're going to buy a 2-pack, right?
Yep.
And your second one goes in the glove box.
Glove box.
Because it's going to turn on, it's going to burn out somewhere.
Something.
And then in the spring, even if you just changed that in November,
throw
that sucker away. In April, you're putting a new one in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know what else I have in that little plastic Ziplocs with the 2 extra batteries? extra screws for that back of the back of the remote.
Yes.
It never fails. I will look, and all of a sudden, I'll be missing two of the four. And I'm like, what in the world?
That's yours. Yeah. We haven't had any come off ours.
Well, see, and you guys have the remotes, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've got the old foot pad with my old Minn Kota, and I think I'm on my third foot pad.
Really?
So guess what? They'll just quit working.
Yeah.
And then you have to order a new one. They're cheap, $18, whatever.
Oh, really? They're that cheap? Yeah.
That cheap? Interesting. It's crazy. But that's something I check too. Of course, yeah. I even when it's sitting there, you know, I'll run it and turn it, even laying up on my boat. But because I don't trust that.
Yeah.
I've had them go, and it's no fun not to have it out on the water.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, this is probably not the most glamorous podcast, but it is important.
It is. It's super important that you do those. And like you said, it's a 2-hour thing that you'd be amazed at how fast you can switch out that lower end oil.
It's easy,
you know. And let's talk real quick. Let's wrap this up. When you're going to go put it back in, right? That pump that you buy at any, you know, marine store or whatever, screws right into the lower. You want to go in the lowest one. You don't put it in the upper one. You want to go in the lowest one, right? And then you leave those screws out and you start to pump it. And as the oil pops out of the front screw, you put the front one in. Pump it a couple more times. Pumps out of the back when you put the back screw in. And then you just give it a couple more pumps just to be
out,
sure.
Put the bottom screw
unscrew
back
it because it will just come flooding out, right? Mm-hmm. Even though the screws are in, it will come flooding out. So you give it that kind of couple extra pumps. So when it does flood out, it's not low. Stick that screw up in there, tighten it, just hand tighten it. You don't have to torque wrench it, anything. Just give it a, you know, good, it's not going anywhere. And you're done. That's it. Wipe it all down, get it nice and clean looking, and off you go. Do the next one. I mean, I think you can do the whole thing in 15 minutes.
That's really,
if you know,
if you have all the right stuff.
Yeah.
Once you've done it and you've bought the right, you know, grease.
Yeah. Some of them are star, like mine are a star head. So I have to get a special star head that goes in there. Not a screwdriver, you know, not a Phillips. It's a star head, right? Yeah. So whatever.
Big deal.
Yeah. But, and just the other thing I would say is, you know, make sure you have enough grease, right? Make sure if it takes two bottles, buy three. Because there is nothing worse than having it all apart, ready to go, and you start to fill it up and you run out of grease.
Well, and if you only use two, you got an extra one for the next year.
Yeah. And then
it's not going to go bad.
No, and mine comes in bottles. It looks like motor oil bottles. And, you know, so it's not going to go bad. Even if I pop the seal, I'm going to put on the cap and throw it up in a closet, you know, in a cupboard in the garage, and I'll have it for next year. But there's nothing worse because for me, right, the boat's hooked up to the truck. I pull it out of the garage. I do it where I have space. I got to unhook all that just to go to the damn store to go get more. So it just turned in a 20-minute thing turned into 2 hours because I got to unhook the boat. I got to go get
it. He's pretty slow at unhooking the boat.
Oh. Dude, then you got to hook it back up. Then you got to
get that's
going to
be our next podcast. Yeah. Hooking up the boat.
Hooking up the boat.
Helping Junior hook up the boat.
Yeah. No, seriously, guys. It's like we said, not the most glamorous, but it's something that we want you to have a takeaway from this.
Yep.
Is spend the hour or two it's going to, because it's going to give you hours of fun on the water and not have the issues. So, so hey, continue to send us your stuff to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We are getting a ton of emails from you guys. Our next level is now going over to Supercast. You'll be able to see it come through Podbean, but it's going to give you a link when you subscribe, and it's going to give you a link for your own private listening to the next level. And I'm telling you,
and you won't subscribe through Podbean anymore.
No.
Podbean will not have the premium content. We have shifted it all over to Supercast, and you will get a welcome email. It will have your private link. You can put it in any player, and it will bring it up automatically. This is going to be a big upgrade for us.
We really think so. We're really trying to. We've had some listeners said they've had some issues back and forth, so we're trying to clean that up. Work with us. If you guys have any issues with Supercast, let us know. Their IT department right now has been awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
So really responsive, so we want to work with you and get you the best product that you can have. So from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, have a good night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.